Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I think there are some truly hateful people, but I think that there are some people who are just ignorant.
Yeah, I mean, also a lot of, I would even argue to say that most hate is actually fear disguised as hate. A lot of it stems from fear. They fear the true nature of love and acceptance, and they fear all kinds of things. They fear what people think. They fear.
So feel me when I bring it, sing it loud. I'm from the loop and I'm proud. Run a mile for the cause. I'm right.
Hi guys, it's your girl Nahama, your favorite Jew from the loop. Welcome back to my podcast. And today I am so excited to have one of my oldest friends on the show. Shippy.
I'm not that old.
Not old.
Okay,
age.
I'm not even 30 yet, first of all.
We're not old in age, but like, of all my friends, the only friend who, well, she hasn't been on here yet. I don't know if she ever will, but Tammy's the only other friend besides for you who I've known this long. Because we've been friends since we were 8 years old.
Well, I think you were 7 and I was 8 when we started being friends.
Because it was going into second grade.
Going into second grade, and I was definitely 8 years old at that time.
I realize that's 21 years.
No, no, yeah. No, it's like 5 years.
What? 21 no. years. God, 21 man. Years that we've been friends. And the thing about me, any of my friends who are listening to this, you know this is a fact about me. I am a low maintenance friend, which means that we could not talk for years, but you will always have a special place in my heart. And yeah. So Shifra moved when we were going into high school. She went out of town for high school.
Yeah.
But like, our friendship is so special to me. I have so many like vivid memories. But like one of the most special ones was I was so excited to go to high school. I was always the type that set up my locker like 3 weeks ahead of time. And like I had like the mini chandeliers in my locker. Like it was always so decorated. And on the first day of high school, I found a little note that you had left me. Do you remember doing this?
No. Where did I leave you?
You snuck in early. And by the way, I used to get to school an hour early because that's how anal I was. You snuck in earlier than that. Like you had a 5 a.m. flight or something. You snuck in early. Dropped off a handwritten. I still have it.
I snuck into that building?
Yeah.
It wasn't locked?
Well, you probably knew the lock. Everyone.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I forgot that everyone knew it.
Like, yeah, you snuck into the building because, to be fair, like it was the basement of our synagogue or our shul. And I still have that note. I still do. It's in my, I have this big box of like handwritten notes from friends over the years. And I don't keep like every single little love note we've written to each other, but like certain ones that are like really memorable. Mm-hmm. It was the sweetest thing. You're like, I'm so sorry that we don't get to continue going on to school together, but I'm so proud of you. It was really sweet.
I mean, I remember like kind of doing stuff like that. And I did it with when you were graduating high school. I think I got everyone like a little gift. But I really was going to miss everyone. I just couldn't go to that school.
I mean, I shouldn't have gone to that school.
You told me if I didn't go to that school, my soul would suffer. I don't think you said it in those words.
It sounds like something I would say.
But you definitely said that it would be bad for me if I went to a different school.
Oh my God. Kate, can we just explain for a moment that who I am today...
Yeah, no, you were in a totally different place.
And I was very black and white. Yeah. I was very religious, but not in a way that I feel like is a good way to describe the religious community. I was like the bad version, if that makes sense. A bad person. I just really believe that there was one way to be a good Jew. And if you weren't on that level, I was like, I'd be the type where I'm like, I'm praying for your soul.
I think you just, you didn't know any different because it's just so, it's so pushed on you that you have to like do things a certain way. And there's so many like rules with Judaism that we grew up with that like,
I can't believe I said that.
Had to do things a certain way. So it was just like a mindset and it wasn't, I don't blame you for saying that at all because, like,
you.
I knew where you were coming from. And at the time, like, I kind of laughed it off. I'm like, because I knew in my head, like, if I go to the school,
it would be the worst thing for you.
Be the absolute worst thing for me. Yeah. I might not be here today.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, to tell you the honest truth,
yeah.
My brother and sister-in-law said that they were surprised that I stayed religious as long as I did because I had such an intense personality. And the school that I went to was so intense that we short-circuited each other. So, like, the fact that there was any, like, remnants of any religious desire in me is truly such a miracle.
So I have a question. When you started becoming not as religious, did that start in high school? Or?
No, it did not. It actually didn't start till I was 23.
So how did that...
What was my journey?
Yeah, how did that go?
Well, the truth is, I stayed religious a lot longer. And this is such a me thing, by the way, when you hear why. I did not go to seminary. A lot of girls in their gap year after high school, before they start college, will go and study Judaic study in Israel for a year. And I did not go. That's another discussion for another time. But I did not go. And I went straight to college, and a lot of people were like concerned that I wouldn't be as religious because I didn't go to seminary. Kind of like I was concerned for you that you didn't go. And I was like, just because people said I wasn't going to be religious, I was the most religious because you don't tell me.
You do have Irish blood in you, don't you?
We do. Yeah.
Yeah. Takes one to know one.
Yeah. Remember we used to wear like the green shirts at Tower Prep on St. Patrick's Day?
Like no one else could wear that.
Yeah, because you're not Irish. We're Irish. Oh, my God. Like, this is the best. Like, we've known each other since we were so little. And there's, like, so many different seasons of our life that we've been in. Like, even just seeing you today, like, I don't remember. It's been years. It's been years since we've seen each other in person. Many, and it's just, like, years. The minute I saw you, my heart was just like, oh, my God, Shiffy. Like, it's just.
The gang's back.
The gang's back. Let's go. Like, there's something so special, I think, about childhood of friends. Like, sometimes life naturally takes you apart and you get caught up in your day to day. But then, like, you see each other again and it's just, like, what happened that got me off my religious journey? It's so hard to say because there's never, like, one thing.
Oh, yeah, but, like, I guess my question more is, like, what was going on around that time? What were some decisions that you were making that you wouldn't have made previously?
Well, to be fair, somewhere between high school and 23, I really started to get very curious about being less religious. And, like, some of the things that I talk about are so tiny and nuanced, but, like, let's say wearing, like, flip-flops in the summer or not wearing stockings or wearing shorter skirts or wearing short sleeves, like, things that make me technically modern Orthodox, not necessarily not religious, but considering the standard that I had for myself, that was, like, so what happened was I was just always wanting to, but I also was such a romantic and wanted to find my Prince Charming. And it was kind of pushed down my throat that if you want the best guy, you need to be the best girl.
Yeah, no, I've heard that.
And I took it to heart. And I worked so hard and I did not do the typical things that a lot of teenagers do when they try to explore. Like I did not deviate at all. I was such a golden girl. And the problem with that is that somewhere along the line, it stopped being because it was my values and because it's what I wanted. And it started to be because I was trying to impress everyone around me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of it. My grandmother got married at 21. My mom and both my sister-in-laws were 22 when they got married. So in my head, by 22, at the very least, I would be engaged.
It's a baby.
It is a baby, but I started dating when I was 19 for marriage, very intentionally.
Wow.
And so, you know, 22 came and went, and I was nowhere near close to getting married. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I was like, so I've been doing all this. For what? For what? For this man who's not here. I'm not happy. And then COVID hit.
Yeah.
And also, my first job out of college, I was working in Chesterfield. Okay. For those of you who aren't in the St. Louis area, that's like 15 minutes from where I lived. So in a weird way, I had two worlds. I had my Orthodox world here in University City, and I had the new Nechama, who was starting to explore.
A different Nechama.
The Nechama who was starting to wear shorter skirts and who didn't wear stockings in the summer and who may or may not have kept kosher.
Nechama 2.0. All right.
2.0. Like, it just, I always felt so watched. Whether or not it was as serious as I felt, you know, people kind of are in each other's business in a small community.
I feel that too in St. Louis.
And so, like, living that life in Chesterfield, I got to explore without anyone watching me.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit, and I was working at a different company, but because we were commercial real estate, we were considered essential workers. Don't ask. I don't know how they managed to get that.
Buying houses. What?
It's commercial. So it's like offices. And so because
it was going to work,
it was property managers who still had to manage property. So they somehow got like that everyone got to come into work. Like, I remember even having a letter to show police officers if I got pulled over, which never happened.
I was going
to
say, did police like
but it was a weird time. It was a weird time, you know?
Yeah.
You didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And so I really got some freedom because no one was leaving their houses. And so, shoot, I went blonde. It was new me. I was leaving the old me behind. I was exploring. And I found I was really slow to try and anything different because I was like, as a girl, I knew that my reputation was harder to get back and probably couldn't get back at all if I messed it up too much. Mm-hmm. So I was like, is this just a phase? Do I just need to let out some steam? Or am I really kind of changing gears religiously here? And lo and behold, the more I did, the happier I became. And
how about that?
It's wild. I still remember so many of like the firsts of things that I did, which I'm not going to talk about publicly. I'll tell you later. But it's just, you know, the other thing was, is my dad got dementia. He was diagnosed when I was 23. He's always been older. He was 50 when I was born. When I was 12, he had heart issues and he always had diabetes. But like when I was 20, he was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. And that was really scary. Somehow he managed to survive that. And then when I was 23, he had a stroke in my arms. In my arms. Thank God I watched Grey's Anatomy because I knew what to do.
Okay, I need to catch up on Grey's Anatomy. I'm only in season 4.
Yeah. But like, you know, I also kind of felt that I had a little bit of a, oh, Nathan was going through stuff. Her dad has dementia. And it's like, no, I just don't want to be religious. But like, sure. Yeah, it's real hard. It's
That's
so
why.
Trauma. And it's like, I don't know. I'm just such a non-bullshitter. You know, I've always been that way.
Oh, yeah.
But the way I am right now is like, maybe I should probably work on this. I don't have patience for people and their trauma. Because we all have trauma.
But that's kind of good in a way. Like, you don't get swallowed up in it. And that's really, really wholesome.
Thanks. I'm glad you say that. I just, for a second there, I wasn't sure if I had a heart. Like, I care about you. Until, like, you start pulling me into your trauma. And then it's like, I will assess. If you've been in my life for a long period of time, you might get more of my consideration, perhaps.
That doesn't mean you don't have a heart. Like, that just means that,
you know,
you have healthy boundaries. Like, that's a good thing.
I do. Because I'll tell you something, like, if I have known you for less than a year and you start pulling some weird drama on me, when I tell you that I will cut you off so fast that you don't exist.
Yeah.
I don't have patience. I do not have time. And quite frankly, I don't care. And This is just my little platform for a second. I think we live in a generation of people who are in therapy and who have not solved their issues. They just have a higher vocabulary and how to express their issues.
I mean, if you let people, they'll drag you way down, and you don't let that. And that's a skill. Like, I'm not going to lie. That's a skill that not everyone has.
I guess. I'm not saying it hasn't almost happened, you know, but there's always a certain point where I'm like, I can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's affecting my energy. And it's like, it's not like I don't have my own stuff that I'm going through.
Right.
So I quite literally am at a point where I can't handle what I'm going through and your stuff too.
Yeah.
So I'm very discerning. If I'm at a point in my life and you are not helping to build me, I don't have time for you.
That's why you're gonna do great things in life.
Aww.
And thanks. Also, like, protect your energy.
Protect
your energy.
It's so big. But speaking of protecting your energy, like, I don't remember saying that to you, and I'm so glad that you're you, and you just kind of laughed me off. And I think that's why.
No, I knew you were in that place. I'm like, you're not gonna be. I knew that you were not gonna be in that place forever because I've known you,
right?
And I know how you get. so I was just like, yeah, okay, Nahama. Like, I'm just gonna do
the best way to handle me.
Exactly.
I had a trainer, one of my first personal trainers, where, you know, I'd gone blonde, and I was like, I think I want to dye my hair pink, light pink. Fun. He was like, yeah, go for it. And then 2 days later, I'm like, I changed my mind. He's like, it's probably for the best.
You know what? I actually did dye my hair pink.
Really?
And red and blue and purple and teal.
I think I vaguely remember that the purple was really cool on you.
I had like 6 or 7 different colors within a year.
Oh, wow. I went through that too, but I did more natural hair colors.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to find myself.
Yeah.
And I wanted to leave the childhood me behind. Like, that's why I got – and part of the reason why I chose the look that I chose in the end is because I have a very intense, strong personality. It's chilled a lot, but it's still there. I'm very passionate. And so I felt that by wearing contacts and having blonde hair, it kind of chilled me out, so I didn't look as harsh.
But contacts? What kind of
contact lenses? Like, instead of glasses?
Oh, instead of glasses. I thought you, for some reason, I thought you meant,
if I was still a brunette.
Eye changing, color changing.
No, these are my eyes. I actually really do like my eyes. I have hazel eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, wait.
But like, with glasses and with brown hair, I just felt like it was a more serious demeanor. And so it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to ask, because I did ask you this before we went on air and you gave me permission to talk about it. I want to talk about the fact that we both started out life Orthodox and you have come out.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. I was actually one of the first people you came out to outside of your parents. I don't know if you remember that.
Maybe.
At 18, 19?
Maybe. Yeah, you were one of the first people that I completely came out to. Before I realized that I do not like men at all, I came out to a lot of people as pansexual.
Okay.
Which is just like kind of just attracted to anyone because I didn't want to be gay for a long time.
It's hard when you grow Orthodox.
Yeah, because I'm like, maybe there's a chance that I could be attracted to a man. It would just be easier. And
right, because if you're bi, you could be like, yeah, I find women attractive, but I could find a husband to settle down with.
Yeah, and like I did want that, like, at the time. Not now. But I did want that at the time. I did want to, like, find a man, get married, and have some kids.
Yeah.
So I came out as pansexual, and I did like men, but I was pretending I liked them more than friends. So that was a mistake.
And I bought it totally. Because you told me about, I may have been one of the first people you officially came all the way out to, but when I tell you that I was so dumb, first of all, can I be open and say?
Yes, please.
That I didn't think being gay was real.
How do you know? Okay, first of all, how did you think it was like?
Because I grew up in such a religious bubble So obviously we learned in the Bible that it exists back in the time. But I was like, oh, but that was way back in the day. You know,
surely doesn't exist anymore.
Surely couldn't possibly be a thing now. Also, I always was so straight that I was like, I couldn't understand how any girl could not absolutely adore men. Like, I couldn't understand it.
Yeah, you're the straightest person. Well, one of the straightest people I know, yeah. Maybe the straightest. Yeah.
To my detriment, which we'll talk about in a moment. But I thought it, and then, like, I knew about it kind of. But I was like, that happens in Hollywood because they're so depraved morally. Like, I just didn't know. Like, I was like, here's how I thought it happened. I was like, in Hollywood, they're so gorgeous. They're so rich. They have so much access to sex that they get bored of it because it's just so normal, right? So then they want to experiment. But for like a little religious girl who's like saving herself for marriage, I'm like, well, surely it can't exist for the normal person.
So
I didn't understand. So like when people would say things about you, I was like, you guys, Shifra is just artsy. She is creative. She's
super artsy. Flow.
You cut your hair short. And I was like, trendsetter. She's like Audrey Hepburn. I love it. She doesn't care. Shifra never cares. Like, Shifra just does her own thing. And I love that about her. I love someone who thinks for herself.
That's hilarious.
It didn't even like.
So you didn't even suspect anything?
Nothing.
Because do you know when I found out?
When?
I was seven.
You were seven?
I was seven.
So our whole friendship.
Yeah, but I didn't admit it. First of all, I didn't admit it to myself.
But you were like seven. So what does it even mean to a seven-year-old?
Like, okay, so it came, when I came out to myself in stages, like when I was seven, I realized I had an attraction. I didn't really know what it was. Mm-hmm. I just had it and it felt like I shouldn't. And that's all I knew. And then when I was about nine, I learned what gay was. And I remember thinking to myself like, oh shit, that's what I am. Like, and I was devastated.
Aww.
I was devastated. I'm like, I do not want this.
Because there's no room for it in the Orthodox exactly, world, like, especially back then.
Yeah, and I didn't see it in anyone I knew. Like, I didn't know anyone that's gay. Because
if anyone is, it's closeted. So no one's talking about it. Yeah,
so I didn't tell anyone, obviously.
I feel like people are either closeted or they stop being religious.
Yeah.
There's no open conversations about it.
Well, now there's...
Starting to.
Yeah, there's a few organizations that are
really good,
like religious gay people that are openly gay and like are with partners.
It's a tough thing to navigate.
Yeah, but back then I was like, I can't tell anyone. So
no,
you know,
you couldn't. Yeah,
I pretended to have crushes on men.
And I believed every single one of them. I was always like, oh my God, you like him? Oh my God, he's so cute.
But I was also like in love with several women. So I don't know how you didn't pick up on that.
Because I know one person who you're talking about. We're not going to mention it. But I know one person you're talking about.
So like, how didn't you know?
Retroactively looking back. Duh. But like at the time I was like, she just needed a mentor.
That's what I told myself too.
She's just kind of lost, like, you know, like, yeah, it's a little much, like, you know, mm-hmm. like maybe I literally talking about me being idealistic, like when I tell you I did not see it.
You might have been the only person. I don't know.
Really was. No one was shocked. No one.
No.
Except for me.
No.
Except for me. And then when you came out to me, I was such an asshole about it.
Oh, my God.
The fact that you are, like, still friends with me is actually wild to me.
I mean, you were definitely coming from a place of ignorance. So, like, I knew that you were just, like...
In shock.
Saying that. Yeah, shock and ignorance. But can I say what you said?
Remember what I said too? Can I just say, you guys, I'm so sorry.
Like, we had sleepovers. Did you ever look at me that way?
Because you just have to think about it. Like, yeah. Thinking but I'll back, I was like, then I'm thinking back on every interaction that we ever had, and I'm looking at it differently. Because up until this point, men were, I was about to say predators. Wow. That's so bad. But like men were the ones who like we had sexual chemistry with. And like with our female friends, like that was our safe space, you know? And then all of a sudden you telling me that you're a lesbian made me think, wait, was it not a safe space? Like you were my best friend.
Oh no.
Like it just made me rethink all our interactions. And I was so young and so inexperienced with this concept of the gay community that I didn't know how to like comprehend it.
Right. And then I remember what I told you after that. I was like, well, do you think every man is attractive? Like, are you attracted to every single male you know?
That was a good lie.
And that's what kind of got you to be like, yeah, okay.
I was like, okay, type, fine. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm like, we're friends.
Yeah.
We've always been friends. I've never seen you in any kind of way.
Yeah.
Like,
and that was like, but you know, like I said, it still took me some time. Like, I think there was like a few months after that where I did not talk to you because like, I didn't know how to process it.
I thought we weren't talking because that's just sometimes we just, I was living in a different city.
I mean, that was kind of part of it. It's not like we talked all the time anyways.
Right.
But like, I just remember being like, oh my God, like, is our friendship over? Like, how do I move on from this? Like, there was just no.
That's funny.
There was no comprehension of it.
I didn't even think about that conversation so much after we had it.
Really? Meanwhile, I'm like up at night just thinking about it, like, oh my god, my world has been shooken up.
That's crazy. My sister too, she was in shock, which I was surprised about because I thought she knew. And she like it took her some time to like come to terms that she had a gay sister, and I'm like, it's not that big a deal.
You know,
over I don't the know. Years,
it's something what I've come to realize is like other people's sexuality is absolutely none of my business.
Right.
And the thing about it
unless it's someone you're trying to be with, you know.
Right.
Then it's your business.
Right. Right. And it's just more of like I feel I still haven't found love yet. There was a few times where I thought I shouldn't say that. I found love in ways, but I haven't found like my person yet.
Right.
The man that I'm going to marry.
Yeah.
And so I know how difficult that is. And that's something I would love to find. And so when I see gay couples find that love, I have a hard time being able to look at them and be like, you should not do that.
Right.
I'm just
living their lives.
And it really is beautiful. And they're so sweet. Yeah. And like, I just don't think that it's my business to say or do or think anything about it, to be honest. Like,
so I never understood like how people are true, like there's truly homophobic people that hate gay people.
I could give a few thoughts if you're curious.
Oh, go on.
I think I have a few thoughts. One is,
are they jealous?
perhaps like I think that some people are not confident in their own sexuality. And so they're like, if I'm associated with someone who is gay, by association, will I become gay?
You catch it. I love that one.
These are thoughts in my head.
I love just spreading my gay to people.
It's like a cold, too. There's that. And then there's also like, I think they're afraid of that. And then also they might be closeted themselves. So it's like you kind of make them really uncomfortable because they're going through this phase where for whatever reason, they're trying not to acknowledge that side of them. And so
I have a story about that.
Openly doing it makes them feel real uncomfortable, you know? One of my other podcast guests, she said, this was a quote by Denzel Washington, that sometimes the light in you ignites the demons in others. Yes. You know, and just by existing, you cause them so much anger. Also, happy people cause people who are unhappy so much anger.
Yes.
You know, like they, you know,
yeah,
people don't like that.
Who gives you the right to be so happy?
And also, I think everyone's, depending on what religion you are, whether you are Muslim or Jewish or Christian or any other religion out there, if you're part of a traditional religion that doesn't align with agreeing with the gay community. And if we're being real, even if they say they are, they're not.
Yeah.
They're not. And yeah, that's why I mean, it's really, really challenging.
It's in the text.
It's in the text. And so it's really, really challenging because I don't know. It's a slippery slope. But I think in the end of the day, like I said, people's sexuality is their business. And I think we just have to love all people for who they are and treat people with kindness. And
absolutely,
you're never going to inspire anyone to want to be anything to do with your religion if you treat them like they're garbage.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, and that's really the whole point of this podcast, right? Like, a big thing that I've learned in my 20s is there is a difference between listening to internalize and listening to understand. You know, me listening to you and your story and your struggles doesn't mean that I'm going to have your story and your struggles and your challenges.
Wait, you mean I'm not going to pass it along? What?
Yeah, but, or, you know, like, I think it's just an opportunity to hear people from all walks of life and to create a space where we can just have a conversation. Because yes, life is challenging and we're all just trying our best.
Exactly. So that's why I'm like, you know, why hate? Why do people hate people? It's just, it's pointless.
There's some truly evil people. And those are, the hatred comes from some truly evil people.
Right.
I think majority of people, and I feel this since October 7th, I think there are some truly hateful people, but I think that there are some people who are just ignorant.
Yeah, I mean, also a lot of, I would even argue to say that most hate is actually fear disguised as hate.
Ooh.
A lot of it stems from fear. They fear the true nature of love and acceptance, and they fear all kinds of things. They fear what people think. They fear...
I used to be more judgmental, not necessarily hateful, but more judgmental. And I'm not just talking about like the LGBTQ community. I'm talking about like anyone who is different than me in any way. Well, you know.
I know.
So judgmental. And I think it actually, now hindsight's 2020, it's because I was so deeply insecure.
Yeah.
That like my way of finding any grounding was by like trying to get everyone on board with me. But actually, true confidence is when you're like, no, I know I'm straight and you're gay and it's totally fine.
You live your life, I'm gonna live mine.
So can I just tell you a little insight that I had? Because I'm really excited about it. I've been doing some assessing on why I think I'm still single. One of the reasons why I had a little aha moment, it's because I think men are so fabulous. And when I'm in a like committed relationship, I want to be loyal to my man.
Mm-hmm.
And I love flirting so much that I'm just like, wait, so just one man for the rest of my life?
Ooh.
Right? And so I was like, even though I say I want to get married. But then
you flirt with that one man.
What?
But then you like. Would flirt with that one,
and it's
man.
A more intimate and loving, committed relationship, and there's more depth to it. But I think I have that fear of that intimacy.
That could be,
and so it's easier to keep the light flirtation with like multiple types than to open myself up to one.
That could, I mean, that really could be, because like, in a way, you've built up this idea of how it's going to be in your head,
mm-hmm.
and you may have overthought it.
Oh, I know I have. I overthink everything, and then the reality is stop thinking.
Yeah, yeah, just I mean? Let things happen.
Let things happen, and like that's like my whole thing. Like a big part of me growing up in my 20s was like learning to let go, learning to be more adaptable and go with the flow.
My dad said you would.
He did.
Because listen, so he knows your mom.
Yeah.
Like they're old friends.
Yeah.
And so really we go way back to before we were born.
Really.
Like this they were the friends. Stars. Yeah. So he knew you growing up because we were friends. And
this is wild to me.
And like I would sometimes tell him, I'm like, you know, she has these really like rigid ideas about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, just wait till she gets a little older. She'll chill out.
Yeah.
You'll see. And I'm like, okay. Because my dad, you know, he's usually right about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And
you can tell your dad he was right.
He was.
I'm still chilling.
Yeah. He sends regards, by the way.
Oh, hi.
Yeah. But he told me. He told me. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I know.
But it's hard to wait.
Yeah.
You're dealing with it right there. And then you're like, oh, great. In 20 years, she'll be less rigid. Can't wait. Like, let me hold on till then.
Yeah, but I knew we weren't going to stop being friends.
No.
You weren't going to do anything too crazy. I don't think I was.
But I was thinking I'm really into Kabbalah right now. So I'm really into energy and like law of attraction and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so a big part of it is like, what's your intention behind why you do things? So there's a really fine line with being friendly and with being flirty. And so this past week,
mm-hmm.
I have decided that I'm going to not be flirty. And I'm just going to be warm and friendly. It may come off to other people as flirty still, because when you're charismatic, it comes off that way.
I was going to say, like, some people just read friendly as flirty too.
They do, but it's not about them. What it's about is me.
Yeah.
And what's my intention.
Yeah.
Because am I trying to grab energy from them? Am I trying to get something from this interaction? Am I trying to control the situation? Because that's the real issue here. Me trying to control everything. Or am I just being like...
What a glow up. That's... Wow.
That was one thought. And the other reason why
I think I... That's a big realization to have about yourself.
And I just had it now. Like,
just now?
This past week. Like, this is brand new information. So there's that. And then the other one was also limiting beliefs in myself. Like, thinking that maybe I don't deserve it because I've built it up to be so big in my head that I think I have to be this, like, perfect... person to deserve it.
So that one I'm surprised about.
I'm not.
I'm surprised because to me, at least the way that I see you is that you've always been very self-confident and like of course I deserve things, and like you do. But like I've never thought that you thought you wouldn't, you know.
Oh no. I've been struggling with this for a long time. Not to blame my mother. Sorry, Ma, if you listen to this. But like when I was little, you know how stubborn I was.
Yeah.
And it took, I wouldn't listen.
Mm-mm.
And there was only one threat that worked with me.
What was it?
If you act like this, no one's ever going to marry you.
No.
That was the only thing that worked. And then throwing on to that, going into high school and being like, mm-hmm. I threw out all my Archie comics in seventh grade because I was like, no guy's ever going to want to marry me if I'm reading
Archie
comics. I know, I love Archie comics. Do you remember how many? I had hundreds.
Bro, when we had sleepovers, after you'd go to bed, sometimes I'd just like go into that container where you had all of them and I would just read the Archie comics because I love them.
They were so great. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I would constantly go through. I'm very big on taking accountability. You can't blame people for the rest of your life. You know, at a certain point, as an adult, you have to take ownership of your story.
Sorry, I'm still processing the Archie comic. But... Give me a minute.
Oh, I know.
All right. No, okay. Taking responsibility.
I think it's important to take ownership for your actions. And yeah, maybe people influenced you when you were younger. But as an adult, you get to change the trajectory moving forward. And you're not a victim.
Isn't it great to be an adult?
Yeah. It's so great.
I love it.
So great. I'm still figuring a lot of it out. I thought I would have more of it figured out by being almost 30. But no.
No.
I'm still...
No, I don't think that's ever, like, really going to happen, though.
You know, it's not. We ate by someone recently, and the couple who had us over, they were in their 40s, 50s, mm-hmm. and the husband was saying, like, yeah, I'm still trying to figure out my life. And I said to him, I'm like, I don't think the point is to figure it out.
Yeah.
I think the point is to just live it.
Yeah, because, I mean, as every second goes by, the world gets more chaotic. That's entropy. And we're just here. We're just... pushed into the world.
Yeah.
And we're just here and we're just doing what we do. and then it ends eventually. So, like, whether or not you figure it out, or you feel like you figure it out, or you feel like you don't, like, it comes, it goes.
Yeah, it does. And it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
It is what it is.
I love saying it is what it is, because it really is, like, what it is.
Like, just to prove that point, so my name is Nechama, which is been told by so many non-Jews a beautiful name. Thank you so much. You can't pronounce it, nor can you remember it.
Ooh, what are some pronunciations?
Oh, my God. It's please share. Brutal.
Please.
I've gotten, like, Nechama, Nahima, Nichma. Brutal, man. It's brutal.
I work on the phones. I talk to a lot of people on the phone, so I have an ongoing list at work of what people have called me.
Your name is not that complicated.
I know, it's Shifra. And there's not even the ch in my name.
Yeah.
I mean, in my middle name there's, but it's Shifra. And I've gotten, like, Safira. I've gotten Jeff. I don't know
how.
What? A lot, like, a very common one is Jennifer.
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't know how Schiffer becomes Jennifer, but, maybe over the phone if I'm talking fast.
Maybe.
I've gotten Fifra, like, with an F.
Interesting.
Instead of an S.
People are wild.
No.
But, so, it's I've talked about this before. I have a whole episode dedicated to talk about, like, my dad's dementia.
Mm-hmm.
But, as of this week, he no longer remembers my mom and my names. But he knows us.
Okay.
Yeah. And he lights up whenever he sees us.
Do you remind him of your names?
Oh, yeah. Because I'm an asshole and I just make him repeat it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
Yeah. But I was surprised at how less emotional I was about the fact that he couldn't remember my name. Like, I thought, you know, it sounds like it should be traumatic.
Yeah. Right? Like, that's your name.
But I was like, honestly, at this point in my life, I'm around so many non-Jewish people. I'm so used to people not remembering my name. I'm more surprised when people remember my name.
Yeah.
Than when they don't.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, a name. Okay. So, yes, there is meaning to names, but a name is also just a series of sounds that people make to refer to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And he knows you. So,
that's the most important part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. But
what were we talking about before that?
We were talking about, like, your whole coming out story. I mean, there's so many layers to that.
Right. So I told a lot of people that I was pansexual, and then I cut my hair short because I wanted, like, to
stand out,
really come out and, like signal to people that I was gay.
Yeah.
I also hair learned
has so much power.
It does. It does. I actually cut my hair, my own hair today. I learned
it how looks to... fresh.
Thanks.
You did good.
So I cut it really short. And I did actually grow it out one more time.
Oh, you did?
But with the intention to sell it, because with my hair, like, I knew it, I could get some money.
Well, I remember you and Hana, this randomly just came back to me. You guys had really thick hair.
Yes.
So I remember you guys used to get headaches because you would wear ponytails because we had to.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know.
Yeah. Hannah got them way worse. She had, like, medicine.
Oh, yeah.
I got headaches. When you pierce
this little part of your ear, it's supposed to help with those migraines and stuff.
Well, now you tell me.
Yeah. Hannah got those pierced and they don't hurt.
Well. I don't get headaches now that my hair is short.
Well, yeah. So that's another pro benefit of it.
I did get it when I was growing it out that one last time, but I don't think I'm ever going to do it again.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm starting to get gray hairs. That runs in my family.
It runs in everyone's family.
Well, yeah, but we all get it eventually. Like, it runs in my family that we get them early, pretty early on.
Do you think you would dye your hair, or would you kind of just let it go natural?
I could let it go natural.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that look. Just kind of graying. I don't like it.
Yeah. It's kind of like I would never get Botox. I shouldn't say never, because then, of course, I always end up doing whatever I say I'm never going to do. But, like, I just want to see what I look like to age naturally.
Yeah.
I just want to see what I look like old. Not overnight, you know, like, let it be a natural progression.
I think
but
people are beautiful as is.
And you know what? I think what I've noticed is that not everyone, and it depends on how much you get, but with the Botox and the fillers, at a certain point, you lose your unique features mm-hmm. and everyone starts looking the same. So that's not cool to me. And the other thing is that I'm scared. I'm scared of what's in that stuff. Like that, you know, it's scary.
I don't even know. I don't know what it is. What
it can't be good for you. Does. It can't be good for you.
I don't think it is.
And the other thing is that I think people are trying to retain their youth in addition to improving certain features, but they're trying to retain their youth. And I think youth is so much more than just clear skin and smooth skin. I think it's an energy thing. And so the problem mm-hmm. I think is what looks part of to me, what looks so unnatural. I'm not even talking about the fact that they can't move their faces. I'm not talking about that. Because nowadays some of them are really good and they can make expressions and whatever.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the fact that like they look young, but they're not young because they don't have that energy. So there's something off, but you can't put your finger on it. Does that make sense?
It does. It really does.
Because they don't have that innocence.
Yeah, but it's also a very, like, sad thing because people are afraid to, like, look older. But there's nothing wrong with just being older.
Yeah.
Like, old people are the best. So why is it so demonized that you pay all this money and do all these things to yourself?
From youth to being old.
Yeah.
That in-between stage is scary. I think maybe your own mortality.
But you know it's coming.
We all know it's coming, but it's like, you know it's coming, but still the realization of it is scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I don't know people's reasons for.
I'm sure there's so many.
Doing what they do.
There's so many. Yeah. I mean, I know someone who gets it just because they have like they feel like they have a resting bitch face, so they wanted to help their face look more friendly.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Oh, if I really noticed a difference. Not
wow.
What I mean to say is that I never thought they looked like a bitch before. Does that make sense? Like I think
no, you're like they still look like a bitch. Like I don't know.
I realized when it left my mouth, like, how bad it actually sounded.
Yeah,
but,
That's funny. Yeah.
I have no filter. I'm so unhinged.
That was funny, though. Like, you're like, still looks like a bitch to me. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
All my money was for shit.
Not yet. I mean, some people, like, have a certain perception of themselves that no one else has, so.
Can I tell you, I went off of Instagram for a whole year. Before this podcast became a thing. The only reason why I went back on social was to promote my podcast. But mm-hmm. then, of course, it stuck me back in, and now I'm using it as, like, a consumer.
Yeah.
But back in, the reason how it started was I really felt like it was affecting me in a lot of ways. Like, poor sleep, poor habits, bad for my self-esteem. It was a challenge from my coach at the time. I had a life coach for, like, 2 years. And he challenged me to be off it for 1 week.
It's hard.
And then I did it for 1 week. But you know me, I was like, what if I could do it for 2 weeks?
Oh, of course you would.
And then, like, it started getting easy. It was hard, but it started getting easier. Uh-huh. And then something wild that happened to me during that year is my perception of beauty changed.
Really?
Really.
How so?
I stopped filtering my photos. I look back at old photos that Google saved before I was able to put the face thing on it. And I look at me and I'm like, I was so cute and I was so pretty. Like, why did I feel the need to do that to myself? I used to love watching makeup tutorials and I would look at people in the wilds. This is what I call the real world. In the wild. And
feral I would be people. Like,
I was like, why doesn't everyone just wear like a full face of makeup? Like, don't they know they'll just look better?
So,
but now I actually really appreciate people's natural beauty. Do I still wear makeup? Yes. I'm not like not all or none.
Yeah.
But it's you see me.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm enhancing my features. My goal when you look at me is that you see me and you think, oh, you look beautiful, not, oh, I like the way your makeup looks.
Right. You know? I hear that, yeah.
I was at the gym once back in the day when I wore full face of makeup. And I still wear full face of makeup to the gym sometimes because I'm too lazy to take it off. It's a whole thing.
All right.
But that's different than not being able to not go because I'm insecure.
Yeah, yeah, it's
very different. And I used to go with like a dramatic face and makeup to the gym.
And doesn't the sweat like?
Girl, I figured it out.
All right. Whoa.
I just didn't work out hard enough to sweat. No, I know. Oh my god, it's so hard.
I haven't worn makeup in a long time, so I don't know.
I wore bright red lipstick once. I was in a season of my life, and I was really into bright red lipstick. Mm-hmm. I wore bright red lipstick, and the front guy, Izzy, shout out to you, Izzy.
Shout out to Izzy.
I don't think he's watching this, but if he ever does, you never know. He was like, damn, girl, your lips are brighter than my future.
Man.
And like, I think he meant it as a compliment.
Okay, but his future, though.
But at the same time, I was like, maybe it's toned down the makeup just a little bit.
Do you think he had a bright future or not?
Ooh. That's so mean.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. It's hard to know. It's hard to know.
Well, because you can't tell time. And
right. He was the coolest person ever. I feel like there's so many people, as a barista, I feel this now, but there's so many people who work in jobs that we see throughout the day that we don't really pay so much attention to. And it's unfortunate mm-hmm. because there's so many, like it could be their whole job, but this could be part of a whole bigger story that you don't even know about, you know, cashiers, whatever store you go to, baristas, the greeters and concierges, like all these people, right? And some of those people you could tell hate their life and are there doing the bare bones minimum, mm-hmm. you know, they're just like, next, do yeah. it, whatever, like lifeless. And unfortunately, you really don't notice them as human beings kind of because of that.
Yeah.
But every so often you meet someone in those jobs who's so full of life, and that was Izzy.
Yeah, and you can't help but to like notice like their life is something. I mean, I tried to be as friendly as possible when I was a cashier, and I got to know a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I'd like to think that a lot of my customers
remember you.
You know, they went through my lanes knowing that I wasn't just someone.
I would sometimes choose certain aisles of cashiers specifically because I know they're friendlier and they're nicer and we yeah. have like rapport, you know.
Yeah, and like
I'll wait in line sometimes just to see my favorite cashier.
Exactly. And it's good for business to be a friendly cashier.
Well, with the barista thing too, like that's the other thing. Like, I mean, obviously becoming a barista was a whole learning curve. I had never worked in the food industry before, mm-hmm. so it was very overwhelming. And coming from working at 8 hours at a desk job to standing and being around people for 8 hours.
That's a huge energy shift.
Huge energy shift. Also, the hours is a huge energy shift.
Yeah.
Because I get there at 6:30. We open at 7. In the morning.
What time do you wake up?
5. 4:35.
Sometimes I don't go to bed until 5. Like,
you always were a night owl.
I still am.
Yeah, I figured that wouldn't change. I'm naturally a night owl, but I do enjoy getting up early in the morning. So I take melatonin to drug myself to go to sleep.
You're a night owl?
Yeah.
But you were always on time for school.
Yeah, I didn't sleep.
The whole time?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I don't know how I'm still here. I probably will die young because I haven't slept.
Have you slept since
then? No.
Oh my god.
And it started to catch up with me.
Oh no.
But I learned a little trick. If you put Vaseline underneath your eyes, you don't look as tired. But I'm getting older, so I don't think the trick's working anymore. I think I just look tired.
I mean, when you don't sleep at all, then you're just tired no matter what you look like. So
yeah. I just have so much. I just love life and I love all the people who I meet. And the thing I love about being a barista is I'm making so much less than I have ever made in my corporate life. But my soul is so happy. And I just love being around people. Like, I can't believe I get paid to just talk
like you're
to people.
A very social person. So like,
yeah,
you're what's it called? Your social battery must be like, wow.
It really is. And like, I would come home from my office job and I've had different ones. And like, my mom was so worried about me. because I would come home from work and I would be on the couch and I'd be vegging for hours. Like, she thought I was depressed. I might have been. And I was just so lonely and so sad.
Being depressed is not always like wanting to die. It's sometimes just losing that.
Just having no
sparkle.
No sparkle.
Yeah.
Speaking of sparkle, this is TDD moment. You know how people will say that they have triggers?
Yeah.
And like certain things will cause them to feel anxiety, doubt, worry, or fear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just learned on Instagram that there is something called glimmers.
What is that?
Glimmers are pockets of joy that happen throughout the day that just make you feel alive again.
I love that. Isn't it's the opposite so trigger. Cute?
So it's like everyone should be on the lookout for glimmers.
That's what happens every time I see a mushroom outside. I just, my whole day brightens.
I have to talk to you about this whole mushroom obsession because it's been like your whole 20s at least.
Not my whole 20s, but a lot of my 20s.
So how did that even start?
So that's,
and by the way, when we say mushrooms, are we just being like, oh, I like mushrooms, or we're like shrooms, or a little bit of both?
All of it. The whole entire fungal kingdom.
Yeah.
Because fungi, they're not a plant, they're not an animal, they're their own kingdom. The way this started was, when I met my girlfriend, she was a vegan. And so I wanted to cook for her because I like to cook for people.
Yeah.
But I mostly knew how to cook meat. So I was trying to figure out how to make fake meat. So I got a cookbook that one of the ingredients that you needed was porcini powder. Mm. Porcini is a kind of mushroom that is very savory. So it would have added a lot to this dish. So I'm like, okay, I'll get porcini powder, whatever. I looked online. It was like $1 million for a tiny bag.
Yeah,
I'm like, this is insane. I'm not doing this. What else can I use? And it was at that time that I realized that porcini must have a different flavor than button mushrooms or portobellos, which are actually the same kind of mushroom. And curminis are also the same kind of mushroom. So all of those are just, they taste the same. So that kind of led me down a rabbit hole of what mushrooms were edible. Then I realized that they grow outside everywhere.
They do.
Everywhere. And you can pick them and eat them and they're free and you don't have to pay $1 million for a little bag.
Hmm.
So I'm like, that's what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to go out and find mushrooms. But I was scared because there's poisonous mushrooms that can kill you.
Oh, wow.
So then I'm like, okay, fine. I have to learn as much as I can about mushrooms so I can pick all the ones I know that are edible
mm-hmm.
and avoid the ones that are going to kill me. I don't want that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
fair.
So I just started learning about it. And that's when I discovered, like, I love it. I love everything about mushrooms. And everything I learned was just fascinating. I learned that there's different kinds of mushrooms that can heal certain things or,
oh, I believe it,
you know, help with your immune system. Like lion's mane mushroom helps with memory. And I,
yeah.
And I tried it and it did.
Have you did the shroom coffee or not shroom coffee, the mushroom coffee?
Not like the pre-made
ones. Yeah, because you're more of a foraging your own. Right.
But I've tried, I've foraged at least 14 different kinds of mushrooms.
That's so cool.
Some of them I ate. Some of them I made tinctures, like, there's one called turkey tail that it's kind of like a papery texture. So, but it has medicinal properties. It helps with your immune system and different stuff. It's said to help prevent cancer too.
Oh, wow.
And some of the studies are like, they're still happening. So they're not proven, but people have been using them for centuries, especially, the Chinese.
Well, then you know.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so there's something there.
For sure.
And then a friend of mine suggested growing like shrooms.
Yeah.
So I did and I tried that and that was
a trip and a half.
It was several trips. And it was life changing.
Have you ever gone through a guided trip?
No.
You know what I'm talking about? Not with shrooms particularly, but like
guided like by another person.
Yeah, they have like retreats where you go on these, like, no
for me, I don't think that would be beneficial.
Okay.
Because my trips were always like self-guided and those were the most healing.
Yeah.
I used to take antidepressants.
Because we all know our own answers, you know?
Exactly. And I knew that going in. I'm like, this is a journey of the self. And they really like the shrooms or God or myself, my own intuition, something was guiding me.
Yeah.
I used to have to take antidepressants because I would get horrible depression. And it was kind of better sometimes, kind of worse sometimes. But after I took shrooms, like I've never gotten
really,
really bad since then.
That's amazing.
So I think
I'm really happy for you.
I think they cured that.
That's like, amazing.
No joke. And I need them to be legalized.
Yeah.
I need them to be studied more. I need them to be able to help as many people as possible because the cures for ailments are out there.
Oh, yeah. And they're it's all there. Natural. It doesn't have to be complicated.
Exactly. And it's just, it's so sad to me that someone decided that they shouldn't be legal for what? Like, for what reason? I think the reason that they became illegal in the first place was because they were lumping a bunch of different drugs together. And some of them are really bad for you. But it never made sense that alcohol would be legal and mushrooms wouldn't be.
I think it's the fear of the unknown.
It is. And that's why, you know, slowly but surely, like some places are allowing people to study them. So at least there's that.
There's hope.
There's hope.
You should think about like joining something like that because you're so passionate about it.
I tried to, not with shrooms, like psilocybin, but there was a woman in Pittsburgh who had a gourmet mushroom business, and I applied to work for her because she needed someone, but she did not end up picking me, which actually worked out in the end because the transportation I had at the time was not reliable.
Right.
Good
for you for trying.
Yeah. Yeah, but I did, you know, I did grow my own, like oyster mushrooms, lion's mane.
That's amazing.
But most of the mushrooms I found out in the woods. Like I'd go out every weekend, especially after it rained, and just find all these mushrooms.
This doesn't surprise me at all because you were always such a tomboy growing up. Like,
yes.
You were always like a little monkey too, like climbing trees and somersaulting and stuff. And like I remember... So I mentioned this before, I was bullied when I was little, and like Shifra was always my friend, like throughout it all, even though it wasn't cool to be friends with me, you never
It wasn't gave cool in. To be friends with me either.
Yeah, I guess that's why we're friends now. Like you never gave in to the peer pressure. Mm-hmm. And like I have like very vivid memories of like specific things. And I remember one time in third grade, there was this little tree in the corner of Tower Prep, which is now Costco. Can you believe it?
I know. I went to the parking lot and I saw it. And
wild. Our school's gone. The big fields in the back.
You say our school's at Costco, but really it's the parking lot.
Yeah.
I looked at it geographically. I think it was
the parking lot.
I think it was the parking lot.
It's hard to know.
I think the school was where the field was. Or the Costco's where the field was.
Regardless, there was this huge field in our school, and there was this big tree in the back. And I was a chunkier kid and not very athletic, and my hands were always just too soft to get a grip. I still can't open things.
You never did have grippy hands, did you? Now that I think about it.
My mom makes so much fun of me because I'm like, she's like, you go to the gym like 5 to 6 days a week, and you still can't open anything. I'm like, my husband's gonna love me so much. He's gonna feel like such a man. But there was a tree that I couldn't climb, and all the girls were climbing it, and I couldn't get up there, and everyone was making fun of me. And
making fun of you?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Because I couldn't climb, and it was like a combination of being too chubby and not having grippy hands. So it just wasn't working out for me. And you looked at them and you were just like, put your little hands on your hips. And you're like, well, you guys are just a bunch of dumb monkeys. And then you did like 3 somersaults and walked away.
I did that.
You did that.
How old were we?
We were like 8 or 9.
Oh my gosh.
It see, like, those are the kinds of things that, like, you may not remember, but, like, left such an impression on me because you made me feel so special.
Oh, I'm glad I did that. But I also offered to teach you how to climb trees.
Yeah, we did. Remember Botanical Gardens? Do you remember?
We have those pictures.
We do. I was, like, 10 years old. This was, like, fourth grade. This is a year later. And I climbed my first tree. One and only time I climbed a tree. To be fair, it was a lot of hoisting from you and my dad. We got up there. We did it.
Oh, my God.
And I remember the feeling. I totally forgot about that till just now. But, like, I remember feeling so proud. I'm like, climbed a tree. I am a child for real. It's a big part of being a child is like climbing a tree.
I mean, I guess so, but not all children.
It's a rite of passage, I think.
I mean, it was a huge part of my childhood. I know that for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I'd climb those trees, you know, in Kaufman Park, there's like these really tall pine trees I used to climb.
You would
scale all the way up.
You climbing is not the right word. You would scale those trees. It's like Shipper, who? You see a little rustling? Shipper must be up there.
Hi.
There was that, but also, like, I was creative, but I was also competitive more than anything else. Hard worker. May not be the most talented person in the room, but I'm the hardest working in the room. That much, I can tell you. Shipper is insanely artistically talented.
I wouldn't go that far.
You are. You are. You may not have touched it in a minute, but the lengths that I took to get better than this girl. Like, I worked so hard.
You became a graphic designer.
I know. And I hate it. Well, to be fair, I don't hate graphic design. I've worked with a lot of people who have burnt me out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're not getting to create your own stuff.
Yeah.
And so by the time you get to the final design, sometimes you don't even want to put your name on it because you're like, this doesn't even like reflect what I'm capable of.
Yeah.
And then if you can't get your client happy, then it's just they're so hard on you. And
I feel like a lot of that too is like you're working with the abstract.
Yeah.
And that to me, like that can be exhausting.
It is exhausting. But also what people don't talk about with graphic design is like you hear it and they're like, oh, you must be so creative. And it's like there's elements of graphic design that are creative. There's moments when my job was creative and that was fun. Mm-hmm. But if you're working in a corporate environment from 9 to 5 for 8 hours, 5 days a week, you are not being creative 8 hours, 5 days a week. First of all, as a creative, you can't just be creative whenever you need to be.
Right. It doesn't come with an on-off switch.
Which is what's hard about those environments as well. But in addition to that, a lot of it is once those brand standards have been created, all I do is I take the content and I put it into these templates and these standards. So I'm literally just moving boxes around and adjusting text to be a certain format.
That sounds tedious.
It's tedious. It's attention to detail. And as someone who has ADD and as someone who has ADHD, I'm sure you can understand.
Of course I do.
I didn't see that I wasn't getting it right. So then, of course, they're noticing that I'm missing all these details or if I'm spelling things wrong and I'm looking at it and I'm like, looks good to me. No, literally no one's going to notice. Everyone's going to notice. And it's just, I'm meant to be in a job where I can just talk to people all day.
Yeah.
Graphic design is something that will be very helpful for me and my brand.
Yeah.
And I could do it in my way, but I won't need to be as nitpicky as this.
Yeah.
And my business partner is a Virgo, so he's very nitpicky.
I don't know if that's a Virgo thing.
It is a Virgo thing.
Is it a Virgo thing?
Yeah.
Because I know some Virgos who are just not like that.
Depends what it is. They're not necessarily nitpicky with, they can go either extreme.
All right.
Regardless, it's a good match. But I had a family friend when I was explaining our dynamic of our different energies. I was like, well, I'm a bull in a china shop. And he's like, let me guess, he's the china.
Oh, like, no. Wait, what's your sign again? You're Aries, right?
Mm-hmm. And you're a Taurus.
I am, but I don't know if I believe in all that stuff.
Well, can I tell you what
the personality aspects.
Well, First of all, there's so much that affects your personality. Forget your star signs and whatever. But there's your sun, moon, and rising.
I don't even know what that is.
So it's like where all those things were placed. Like astrologically where everything was placed.
What's a rising though?
Like the moon rising, like where the moon was.
Wait, so when you say the sun, the moon, and the rising, what's
like your full
the difference
signs.
Between the moon and the moon rising?
So I have to look it up, but there's details and nuances. So you're not like just your typical Aries, let's say. Like I'm an Aries sun, a Libra moon, and a Gemini rising. It's a lot of energy right there.
You also have life experiences that kind of...
Right. And I think for me, what I like, I'm not... horoscope girly. I don't decide my day by my horoscopes, but I like to kind of learn about each person because it gives me a starting point.
That's fair.
We could definitely continue this, but I do want to kind of wrap up this episode. We've talked about so many different topics.
I know. Well, we both have ADHD. Well, okay, so here it is. It's ADHD. Uh-huh. They changed it.
Oh.
It's ADHD, inattentive, and hyperactive, and combined.
Mm.
So you may have the inattentive kind. I think I'm combined. I'll just have an inkling.
I have a little bit of hyperactive, but it just depends. Because if I'm hyper-focused, then I'm fine. Mm-hmm. But if I'm not hyper-focused, forget it. I'd literally be mid-conversation. We'll be having a conversation like this, and I'll just be like, what?
Me
were
too.
We talking? And then it's like, just like, it's like, ooh, squirrel.
That's how it goes. The story of my life.
Oh, you know, it keeps it fresh, keeps it fun. Yeah. But I do have this tradition, and I forgot if I warned you about it or not, so if I didn't.
I've heard some of your episodes. Been warned.
You've been warned.
I've been warned.
Now's the time.
All right, just
I'll start with my little intro to give you a moment to think, but it's based on this quote, which is Ezehu Chacham, Halo Mein Mikol Adam, which means one who is wise is one who learns from everyone. We've definitely learned a lot from you, and I really appreciate you opening up so much. And I know there's so much more to your story. We've literally just brushed the surface. But if you could share either a life lesson or a quote.
My quote is, be gay, do crime.
Did you say be gay, do crime?
Be gay, do crime. Preferably a nonviolent crime, like trespassing. That's my favorite crime.
Okay, so kind of living on the edge, being true to who you are. I love it.
Yep. Yep, be true to who you are and... don't let anyone else define you. That's not the way. It's not it.
And it takes time. It takes time to get to that place. But when you do, you will feel so much sense of relief about life.
Yes.
And if you are gay and you have someone like me in your life, I'm so sorry.
But they'll come around.
Come around. I mean, you know, you just if you're different than how your community is, like, you just have to give people a second to, like, process and to come to terms with it.
Exactly.
And people sometimes will say things out of ignorance, but as long as you know their heart, just have faith and give them a little time.
Yeah. And if they don't come around, then that's their loss.
And that's, you know, that's not meant for you. Right. Enjoy the completion. Complete their time in your life, but they don't have to be there forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, you guys know the drill. If you are not already watching the video, you can find it on Spotify or YouTube. And as always, if this was meaningful for you, please share with a friend and give it a like and subscribe if you are not already. What are you doing with your life? We're on episode 27 at this point.
I know, I'm subscribed.
Yeah, you should
on Spotify. I think on YouTube too.
Do it on YouTube, please, if you are not. Like, even if you're watching this or listening to this somewhere else, like, I'm trying to get monetized and I need 500 subscribers and I currently have 78. So
let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen. Share with a friend. Let's go.
Okay. Yes, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, seriously, thank you.
I was coming to St. Louis. I really wanted to see you. I wasn't expecting being on a podcast. I've never been on one. Thing.
Can I tell you why? It. Because even though it'd be so great to make money from this, this is a passion project for me.
Yes.
And I know how fleeting our relationships are. And if you think about a relationship, you have so many great conversations throughout a friendship, throughout a romantic relationship. And like, this is a little time capsule.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wish I could have done this with so many other people who aren't here anymore. But that's why every opportunity that I get with someone who's special to me, I'm like, let's record a podcast. Let's go.
Yeah.
You just never know.
It's better than a picture.
It is better than a picture. Oh, well, you guys, you got some insight into one of my longest friendships. Thank you so much for being friends with me for so long and putting up with me.
Oh, you mean thank you? Thank you for being friends with me too. Oh my god.
Yeah, but
it's been a ride.
It's been a journey. Yeah. For sure.
We had fun.
To 21 more years.
Longer.
Longer.
What are you talking about?
I know, but 21 more years.
Yeah.
I'm beyond.
Come on now. Let's just go for life. Like
for life.
Yeah.
For lifers.
Because we're gonna be 100 years old.
Too, because I had a postcoital crisis.
So let's do it.
I love it. I'm so here for it. I can't wait to see what life will bring us.
It's like 71 more years for me.
Okay.
So
instead of going to a nursing home, can we just like take our wheelchairs and roll down a hill?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. On that note, thank you guys so much for listening or watching or both. I hope you have a great week. Let's get it. Let's go.